Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Yeah, no, it's cool. You can go ahead and taste me if you want. It's fine. 7:06 in St. Louis, Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn. That's it. That's it, Doug.
Well, that's enough, I think.
Oh, my God. Are you saying we're good enough?
Well, I can't get the microphone to stay up there. Okay, now.
Now what do you think?
Hello, London. Mayday, mayday. Hello, London. Mayday. I guess it's working now. Well, we'll struggle through it, Tim.
Nice. You know what? I sometimes, I'll be real honest with you, I'll look at who we have on. I'm like, okay, Doug and the Cat will handle that, or Doug and Charlie, or Doug and Ben Fred, or Doug and Jay. But sometimes I'm engaged by who we have on because I'm not going, so what do you think about the middle infield situation? What do you think about the bullpen? Not interested. But we have Richard Dyshon at 9:15, and I am looking forward to talking it over with a Sports Illustrated media columnist, and he also is the host of a podcast that I look forward to listening to. I guess he releases at least one a week. And on the ESPN layoffs, but also the landscape of national sports media in a potpourri of different angles. He's always a good guest. I suppose the onus is on us to make sure that he is, but usually we have some really good conversations. So I would recommend that, even if you will not be listening at 9:15, you can podcast, and you can podcast like the Dickens. And that's kind of fun, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't really podcast.
I think if you did, I think you'd find yourself enjoying it.
Can't
I think
if
you did, I think you'd find yourself. Yesterday, Howard Stern had Jamie Foxx on, and I'm looking forward to probably when I'm playing golf, maybe when I'm playing poker. I'll just be sitting there, and I'll be settled in. I think he was in there for more than an hour, too. Oh, so I'm looking forward to that, and that's because of PLTD, Jack. That's where the media landscape is going.
Well, now, if I go onto a website and I click on a little audio cut that some radio station ran for 2 minutes, does that count as podcasting? That's about as close to podcasting as I've ever
thought. I think if you saw how easy it was, like two clicks on your phone, you'd be like, holy moly, cockatoo. But you say you don't have Bluetooth in your car.
I don't think I do.
I can't imagine in that whip.
I don't really need it.
That's a nice whip.
Well, I don't think I need Bluetooth.
Yeah, but if you had it, then you'd be like, oh, I can listen to game film of this show. I'd be like, okay, right there, I could have teased better because we know we need to get better.
Yeah, I don't really care much about
that. The Plowhawk's Laugh is brought to you by the Post Sports Bar and Grill. It's a Design Air heating and cooling. 7 o'clock hour. Design Air donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. So Rick Hummel at 8:30 and Richard Deich at 9:15. There is your captain's log. In addition to the Hot Shots email today, free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots and a pair of Bud Bash Cardinal tickets for May 30th with Whitey Herzog as the bobblehead of the featured player for that. Doug, I got to turn my phone off because I probably just got an email from the Weather Channel.
Is that what that was? That was
yeah, usually it's 7:09. They send an email to let me know what the temperature is, and I just don't know why I need to know it. But I can tell you it's 52 degrees.
Yeah, what's up with that? I thought we were done with that.
I agree with you.
It'll be 98 in about a week and a half, and that'll make me happier. I'm fine with the hot weather. Bring it on.
I'm here with you.
I'm not interested in cold anymore.
I'm here with you. I was in a weird spot this morning. I want to be transparent with the audience, though. I
think it's a weird spot.
I woke up. I didn't. Did you stay up for the entire Cardinal game?
No, I turned it off about, I had to work, you know, I was out with Lady Journalism
sure,
last night.
Sure, of course,
night.
Yeah, she was dainty.
After about 10 innings, I turned it off. I said, well, this looks like it could go a while.
I think I shut it down in the 7th, maybe? 6th or 7th. But you know what I do? I use the TiVa. I use
you
this
do.
TiVa.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Then I wake up in the morning and I watch it. But last night, I gotta be honest with you, I shipped action on the Dodgers. Wow, Iggy with a surprising reaction.
Well,
thought if anybody was
sweating that out for $255 or whatever you put up.
They were minus 250. But I'm like, yeah, Doug, personally, I'm short in the Cardinals this year.
Mm-hmm.
All due respect. Hope I'm wrong. I'm not like as aggressive on it as I was last year because it doesn't appear at this moment anyway, that there is a powerful force in the Central. The force might be the Brewers, but they just don't have pitching, at least at this moment. And who knows if the Cubs will get it together. Maybe they're still hung over from last year. I don't know. But either way, Cardinals against winning teams. I got to calculate the number. Seamaster, can I give you a charge? Is he on Bernie right now? He's just not paying attention.
CZ?
He's truly not paying attention.
Yeah, he is listening to Bernie.
He's listening to Bernie. There he is.
CZ?
Could you look up the Cardinals' record against teams with a record above 500? It's horrible. I know that. But anyway, then they're facing Clayton Kershaw, and you could be whichever team you think in baseball is the best team. Who would you think is the best team in baseball right now? Natitude?
Probably the Nationals, yeah.
And I'd still bet against the Nationals.
Astros are very good.
Yeah, the Astros are like 30-15 or something,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Starting to get some good pitching, too, from a couple random spots, even though Dallas Keuchel's out. But anyway, listen, I bet against the Cardinals. It was a business decision. It's not the way I want to go through life, but last night I saw value. I made the play. I certainly didn't expect Lance Lynn to throw like he threw, and I woke up, and I'm in a weird spot, because usually when I'm waking up and they're on the West Coast, I'm hoping to see that they won, and then I wake up and I'm like, oh my God. That thing went 13 innings, Jack.
Yeah, sure
now
did.
I won. It's kind of it cuts both ways. If the Cardinals win, I'm happy the Cardinals won. But if the Cardinals lost, I won money. Now, it wasn't a NLCS, NLDS, World Series emotional hedge. It was just, I think they're going to lose, and I'll take advantage of it. So as I then go back to watch the game last night, I see how they tied the game. What the hell was going on there? Yasmani Grandal.
Very wild pitch.
Randall Grichuk's at second base. I believe the Cardinals' third hit of the game, I think. Diaz had one.
Something like that.
But Grichuk's second base. Dexter Fowler's up, and the ball gets away from Yasmani Grandal. And here's the call from Dan McLaughlin as the Cardinals tie things up in the top of the ninth against Clayton Kershaw. Was doing.
Well, hit the lever, Plowsy.
Away. He can't find it. Here comes Grichuk. He may score. And this game is tied with a head first slide. 1-1 our score here in the top of the ninth.
Pretty strong.
Yeah. Good base running play. Didn't need to slide. There wasn't even a play at the plate.
Yeah. I mean, terrible on the part of Grandal to not see the ball. Clayton Kershaw, before Grichuk even was halfway to third, was pointing at to tell Grandal where the ball was. And then once again, I swear to you, if you go back and you watch Kershaw against the Cardinals so many times, in particular 2013 and 2014 in the postseason, you either have him in that kind of preparing to receive doggy style position.
What?
Or where his head is up and then his head is down. Ah, yes.
Down.
Right. And so last night he's standing at home plate as Grandal finally gets the ball. Grichuk's already scored. And he goes once again into that mode where his head is up. And then his head is down against the Cardinals, and he's just sighing like, how in the hell does this keep happening? The Cardinals just get him. Mm. Even though they kind of didn't get him, he pitched, nine innings, and they only scored one run, but it doesn't matter. And the Cardinals tie it. And it looks like, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, they lost in the 13th inning, and I'm watching the game, at 5:30 this morning. And Doug Kike Hernandez, and I know he's one of your favorites.
Oh, sure. He's long been one of my favorites. My favorite Kike, that's right. For sure.
The Astros had Kike Garcia.
I remember that, yeah. Yeah.
But you like Kike Hernandez more.
I prefer Kike Hernandez.
And why is that? Because the Astros wear the same uniforms on the road as they did at home.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That was the reason.
Yeah. What was that all about?
I don't have any idea.
Cost-cutting?
I don't know.
So it's two strikes on Hernandez.
Two strikes, yeah.
And I think it might have been 0-2, and he borderline swung. Dan McLaughlin's already talking about who the Cardinals have coming up in the 14th. And I'm going, God, are they sure? I mean, when I looked at my little scoring app, is this right that the Cardinals lost the game here? Because it looks like he struck out. Doug's favorite Kike Hernandez, gets the benefit of the doubt from the first base umpire, might not have been paying attention. And then Broxton winds up walking him. I wasn't up at the time. I imagine Twitter didn't go do well with that.
Probably not, if they were still awake.
And then Logan Forsyth pokes one down the right field line, kind of a weird right field, kind of a Fenway Parkish right field they have in Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
And the ball kind of circles around from Piscotty didn't look like it was going to be the game-winning hit at all, because Hernandez was at first. But because it gets away out in right field, Hernandez comes around to score, and the Dodgers, despite only having three hits, they had two runs, and that's all it took to defeat the Cardinals.
A little bit of Vin Scully tribute right there at the end. He's not at the games anymore.
Might have been there as a fan.
Now they have talked about, I think Commissioner Manfred threw it out there that they're thinking about in extra innings, starting with a runner at second base. What do you think about that?
I don't like it. But I don't know if I don't like it because I subscribe to old school baseball dogma versus a pragmatic approach to teams destroying is an overstatement, but really harming themselves and feeling the effects of it, especially if it's in the final game of a series against an opponent.
Yeah.
And then they are worn down, whereas the opponent is fresh. Right.
Like the Cubs paid for it all week after that 18-inning loss to the Yankees. I don't know that the fans like these long extra-inning games either. You look in the stands, there's nobody there. I'm sure you look at, if you could gauge who is still watching on TV, not many. I don't know that they need to keep playing 13, 14, 15 innings. It would be interesting. I think it'd be exciting to start with a runner at second base. It'd be something different. I don't know that that would destroy the sanctity.
Did that
of the
in the World Baseball Classic, right?
I believe they did, yeah. I'd be fine with it. I don't care for these long extra-inning games.
I don't know if it's prisoner of the moment. By the way, LeBron James missing that dunk last night. Inexcusable.
Hey, come on. They won anyway.
Get the 2 points. It's a plus.
Okay.
Media soft.
Hey, they won anyway.
Frank Cusimano.
He'll have some thoughts on that.
I don't know if it's prisoner of the moment because it seems like we've seen a lot of especially long extra inning games this year. But then at the same time, I feel like this year more so than years in recent memory, there are more players, especially big time players, hurt.
And I would think this is only going to increase as teams begin to build their teams largely around bullpens. You don't have any weak bullpen arms coming out for the most part. And so it's really hard to score in the late innings. You get guys out there throwing 98 miles an hour after you've already played a three-hour game. It's hard to score in these extra inning games. I'd like to see him try it one time. Start with a runner at second, or start with a runner at third. I don't care.
I would imagine one dissenting point of view would be the numbers are held so sacred in the game that now you're altering that.
Taint RBIs maybe a little bit.
But, I mean, you can go back to the 70s. When did they put the DH in the American League?
I think 71.
I was going to fire 72, but it was a total blind bullet.
Yeah.
But either way, you could make the case there, of course, that that changed drastically. The Cardinals are 8-14 against teams that are 500 or better this season. 8-14 against teams that are 500 and better this season.
They don't hit much. I know last night it gets exaggerated because you're up against the best pitcher of his generation. But going into this season, we were pretty excited about the first three of Fowler, Diaz, and Carpenter. Fowler's down to 212. Diaz is hitting 260, starting to come on. Carpenter, your number three hitter, is hitting 226. You can't have that at the beginning of the lineup and expect to win a lot of games, expect to generate many runs. Jerko's really the only guy in the whole lineup that's hitting a little higher than what you thought he might. Everybody else is well below. And this is going on for 2 months now. We're at the end of May here.
Yeah, more than a quarter of the way through the season. 22-20. So both the Cubs and Cardinals are two games over 500. It's just the Cubs are 23-21. And the Brewers lost last night. First place Brewers. So the Cardinals and Cubs remain a game and a half back of Milwaukee. And tonight they will deal with Rich Hill. Tomorrow night, Kenta Maeda. The thing is one of the talking points that I feel like, and I feel like getting Cardinal news in St. Louis is kind of like getting your political news. It depends on where you listen. And I really don't know where the dissenting outlet is. And that's not a criticism. It's just I don't really know where it is. But to just present what I consider to be numbers, and therefore you can interpret them how you want without a spin, the rotation is one of the best in the game. I mean, the top 10 in ERA is just littered with Cardinal starters.
Mm-hmm.
However, do you really think that that is going to continue? Because the argument for the Cardinals improving is how poor some of the hitters you cited are performing at this point in the season. And if you want to call upon the track record, so to speak, although some of these players that track records are being cited for, such as Piscotty and Diaz, really don't have a large sample size track record in their careers. A small season long in Diaz and a season and a half long in Piscotty's case of a track record to know how they play at the major league level. And Diaz certainly was a windfall last year. But is that they would inevitably improve. Well, along the same lines, if you want to use that theory, which I also see where one would come from and may ascribe to it myself, then that would also lend itself to saying that players such as Mike Leake, Michael Wacha, Lance Lynn are going to regress. So it cuts both ways. And as I said, when the Cardinals started this stretch, which began at this point, I guess, 11 days, 12 days ago against the Cubs at home, where they were playing almost nothing but teams above 500 with the Cubs, Swalks, Giants had been playing better baseball, but they're still well below 500. And then this Dodgers, Rockies, Dodgers stretch with the Cubs thrown in there. I'd be surprised if the Cardinals were above 500 in that stretch. Again, it's not a shot, and it's an honest assessment. And the odd place we're in, both with political discussion and sports discussion, even, is if you offer an opinion that goes against the mainstream audience, in any way, that it's wrong, and it's not intended to be wrong. I'm a Cardinal fan, that's why I do this stuff. But I'm not sure that this is a team that's going to be able to go out to LA, and at this point, Colorado, and win a good number of games. But last night, they were in position to do so, and that would have been a hell of a steal of a win. Lance Lynn pitching like he did, that's a good offense the Dodgers have. And you're doing it against Clayton Kershaw, too, so Lance Lynn keeps the team in the game. He's still out there late in the game. And the Cardinals just aren't able to pull it out. And that one hurts because that can set the tone for the road trip. If you can get that one, it really feels like you stole one. It makes it worth it that you had to go deep into the bullpen. Rosenthal through, O through. Oh, looked good. But now it's like, oh, crap. Used those guys up. And now you got, you're four innings of extra inning baseball in, carrying into facing two pretty damn good starters, not Kershaw-esque, but two damn good starters the rest of the way, and then you have to go into Colorado. It's a domino effect. It's similar to exactly what the Cubs dealt with, except there's a two-day gap as opposed to what the Cubs were doing, which was flying directly to Coors Field. They got a break the next day because the game was rained out, but they still had a doubleheader. Cardinals now go deep into their bullpen to start this road trip. They have 48 games in 49 days, but to start, they now have a 13-inning game under their belt, and they travel to Denver after tomorrow's game. That's rough doings there. And that's rough doings when the Rockies suck. Rockies happen to have the best record in the National League. Winning on the road, too.
This was
17-7 on the road.
But, yeah, that's nice.
They put up runs at home.
This is about the third game where the Cardinals could have used Matt Adams coming off the bench as a pinch hitter.
He had a home run again last night and a walk-off hit for the Braves. Two home runs in two games, yo.
I thought they were at least one big bat away from being a major contender before they lost his bat. And now you don't have that. I'll call it a thunder stick.
I don't understand.
A big bat.
Like a rally stick like they had in Anaheim in 2002 hitter. Before Spezio hit the home run in game six.
Yes, a big hitter, big threat coming off the bench. You've lost that now. And you really don't have that big, I'll call it a thunder stick,
I understand,
in the middle of your lineup. And I think that's going to hurt him. It already has. Adams was a real threat coming off the bench. He was one of the better pinch hitters in the National League over the last couple of years. And this is, again, it's about the third game that they've, one-run game that they haven't won, that they could have used that bat at some point. Not that he would have hit that same home run last night, but it's a threat they don't have anymore. And the team is really struggling for offense.
The Cardinals, 13th inning, Jonathan Broxton on the mound against his former team. Doug, this is how it all ended last night. Dodger Stadium at around what time? 12:30?
I was asleep. Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Line down the right field line. Peeling into the corner. It's a fair ball. Piscotty digs it out. Hernandez headed home. That will do it. Forsythe, in his first game back, is the hero.
Do you like that I Love L.A. thing when they play?
No, that wasn't Dan McLaughlin.
Yeah, I know. Who was that?
Who was that?
Because McLaughlin was the one in the Grichuk tie call.
Who was that, Plowsy?
Well, Cloud Hodger.
Fox Sports Midwest, and I would have had a gotten it from MLB.
Don't say I would have had a gotten it.
I would have had to have retrieved that audio from MLB.TV. Our internet has still been a huge issue. I've been pulling most of this sound via my phone.
Yeah.
And so the call was on the Dodgers Twitter feed.
Joe Davis.
And he had a pretty good call, so I apologize. We didn't get the Danny Mac disappointment of the walk-off of the Dodgers.
Oh, well, that's okay. I just wondered who that was. That's the guy that got Vin Scully's job?
That's correct.
Yep.
Joe Davis is his name? I'd not heard that name before.
Yeah, he says, and they're going wild in the mound shitty.
I wonder how that would have gone over if he tried to imitate
they
Vin Scully. Stop it. We don't call it the Mound City. Haven't for 1,000 years when the Cahokia Indians were here.
Didn't he do the game with A-Rod the other day, the Cardinal game? I believe that was him.
Joe Buck was with Alex Rodriguez at Citi Field for the Mets.
He did the Fox Sports 1 game, I believe. I believe he does broadcasting for Fox Sports 1 and as the Dodger.
Doug, do some show prep, bro.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't research that very well. That's for darn sure.
The cat big leagued me last night at the Dodger game. He was too busy stuffing his face with Dodger dogs and a large cola. That's from the Millstats Circle Jerks. What in the hell would you be doing up listening and texting into this program if you were in L.A. right now?
5:30 L.A. time. I don't know. Maybe it just rattled him so much. You know, when something happens and you really feel like you've been slighted like that, I could see where you couldn't sleep at night.
The cat sent out a picture last night of the Bachelorette, and he dedicated it to Raby. Radio Wars.
Was she there or something?
Yeah, she was on the field in the Dodger jersey.
All right. Well, that's kind of him.
But, I mean, it's a blatant violation of his non-compete, so there will be litigation.
Against him.
And Raby, especially.
The two of them. Well, yeah. We're at war with Cam Wex, that's
right.
For sure.
Yeah, it's a heated war, too.
Won't help that situation.
Media's soft in this time! It's embarrassing!
Mm.
Alert, alert. Long trip, getaway day, game for D-backs. It's from Ryan with an R.
Okay, and he's suggesting that the players will want to make outs, so they'll all swing at the first pitch, and the game will last 2 hours and 30 minutes.
They are playing the White Sox, though, and that's kind of a ham and egg operation they have on the South Side. That game's in Phoenix. Randall Delgado is the starter for the Diamondbacks?
Oh, Randy DG.
I will go...
That's the kind of sports talk we could have.
No, he's not done.
We lived in a bigger city.
Angels under 79.5.
There it is.
That is interesting. It's very interesting.
A quarter of the way through the season, he at this moment is trending poorly on the Angels under 79.5.
Yeah,
Mike Trout is.
He's going crazy.
16 home runs? Hit one last night.
Yeah. I think there's a chance that he goes down as one of the top five players ever.
He's only 25.
Yeah.
Still only 25.
And he's finished like first or second in the MVP award 3 or 4 years in a row.
Would have been nice to trade Adams for him.
It sure would have been. It sure would have been. And, you know, pick two or three other guys, too.
While you're there.
Yeah, your choice. Pick two, three, maybe four.
Mike Trout has been playing full-time for the Angels since 2012, debuted in 2011. He was second in the MVP in 12, second in the MVP in 13, first in 14, second in 15, first in 16.
So 5 years in a row, either first or second.
And I would say at this point he would be the MVP. Mm-hmm. A quarter of the way through the season he is at 15 home runs, a .342 batting average. 1.218 OPS. How do you do?
I'm fine, thanks.
Mother
so is he.
Pearl. But they just waste him.
Yeah, it's a shame that he plays on a team that most of the country never sees play. Ever.
And they did have a hell of a team. What year was it? 14?
A few years back, as I recall.
But they got swept by the Royals.
Yeah.
That was the team to do it.
I wish I could watch him play more. Because I do think he's going to go down as one of the premier players ever in the history of the game, and to think that we're living in the TV age, and I'm not sure I've seen him play more than a handful of times.
We saw him at the Pools Golf Tournament at Meadowbrook last year. Surprised he didn't drop by the dais.
Yeah, well, I don't think he recognized it as a dais or was really very impressed who was sitting there.
What?
But I could be wrong.
Stole 49 bases in his rookie year.
Yeah, he's right now he's Willie Mays. He's Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays. He's as good as any of those guys. In an era where it's, I think it's kind of harder to hit now than it was back then with relief pitching being what it is.
Specialized relief pitching.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cardinals take on Rich Hill this evening. Mike Leake on the mound for the Fighting Redbirds. We'll see how the bullpen is doing after last night's late loss in Los Angeles. This is the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air is donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life, designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. You know, I did it this morning. It's a whole thing in the morning, but I did it shave.
This Harry's razor thing?
Yeah. It's a whole thing, especially when it's 5 in the morning, but I did it. And you know what? When it's all said and done, I'm glad that I did because it's really not that big of a thing. It's just I'm kind of, you know what I am? I'm sleepy.
What the hell does that mean?
I'm sleepy.
Okay.
And so I don't.
But you're looking for sympathy, so you say it like a 4-year-old might say.
Right.
Okay. Does it work at your crib?
It does, if there's no one around. But alas, I do it. And I'm glad that I did it because it is really easy and you get a quality shave. It's Harry's Razors. Harry's starter set is a month's worth of shaving for just $10 with the code INSIDESTL at checkout. Your start set includes ergonomic handle in the color of your choice, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. Shipping is free and satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. We have partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your first purchase with promo code INSIDESTL. Go to harrys.com right now and enter code INSIDESTL at checkout to claim your offer. That's harrys.com, promo code INSIDESTL. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today. Promo code INSIDESTL. 9:15, Richard Deitch with us, and in about an hour, Rick Hummel with us on the Cardinal loss. Jesus Ortiz in the Post-Dispatch is holding the Cardinals accountable. But more so for Matt Carpenter not addressing the media Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Were you over there for that?
Saturday night I was not.
Anchoring baby.
Yeah.
But Carpenter hadn't addressed a play that really has Cardinal fans still upset, despite the fact it's now a few days old. But Matt Carpenter talked about it for the first time yesterday, and this is what a friend of the show, Derek Gould, had to say about it. The calculus, and I like that right out of the gate, that zipped through Matt Carpenter's thinking as he raced for third base late Saturday night included the outfield experience of the Giants left fielder, Eduardo Nunez,
right.
The carom of the ball off the wall, and most of all, the absolute inability the Cardinals had shown to score. Those things led Carpenter to push for third base unsuccessfully, and at a high cost. The score was 0-0 in the bottom of the ninth when Carpenter uncorked a leadoff hit off the left field wall. He could have strolled into second, given the Cardinals 3 outs to get him 180 feet for the victory. Instead, he was pressing for third, and the inning unraveled in what became a loss in the 13th. Here is what Carpenter had to say. Quote, I had more than just one good reason in my head. I wouldn't have gone if I didn't think I couldn't make it, first and foremost. Secondly, we're talking about a game where offense was at a premium. In getting to third, the percentage of scoring that run goes up way higher than if I was just at second. We're not going to bunt Jed behind me. We're going to have to require a base hit. If I can get to third base, then a sac fly wins the game, a wild pitch wins the game, a base hit wins the game, a ground ball in air, a lot of different things. My whole thought when I saw the ball hit the wall was I'm getting to third. It just didn't work. Doug.
Yeah.
Your reaction.
Well, I know that when you're the guy out there running, you have to make just a split-second decision. He's going as hard as he can, and he gets to second, and he looks out there, and he's thinking, I can make this. And after about 2 or 3 steps around the bag, I'm sure he's thinking, oh, Lord, I'm in trouble now.
Marp!
But it's too late to turn back. I'm sure if he had it again, he wouldn't run that. I mean, nobody would if he knew that it was even going to be close. I don't think you go. But at the time, he's excited. He's running. He's feeling good. He's thinking, I got this. And then, whoops, I don't have it. At least it was a mistake of being aggressive, of trying your darndest to make something happen. Not a real smart play, obviously, and I'm sure he would admit that. But at least he was trying his darndest to help the team win. It wasn't a mistake that he was too lazy to back up, or it was something stupid, a lack of effort. It wasn't that. It was just overly aggressive at the time. I can give a guy a pass on that. I don't think it's a play he'll make the rest of his career.
That is not what he says, for the record. He said, I could never make a mistake on the bases. I could also not make anything happen as well. I could go out there and go base to base to base, or I could try to make things happen. I'm going through a stretch where it's not working, but I'm not going to change. You have to continue to be aggressive, but you got to pick your spots. The old golden rule is that you don't want to make the first or last out at third base, but you cannot win the game from third if you're not on third. That's my mindset.
Yeah, I think that's what he said publicly. I think what he wouldn't say is, boy, that was a stupid play on my part. I won't do that again.
I have to say this, now as he lists his reasons, it makes sense. It's just I have a difficult time believing that as he's rounding and making the wide turn, approaching second to take the straightaway to third as Nunez fields the carom off the left field wall, that he was calculating all of that stuff. So I feel like it's 48 to 72 hours to give some justification for it.
Well, you always would want to be at the next base. You could always say that. I don't want to be on first. I want to be at second because now I can score on the base hit or the air or something. You can always say that, but it's still a stupid play if you try to do it and it's the wrong situation or you're going to be out by plenty. I mean, I don't think you can justify it just by saying I'm better off at third than second. No kidding.
Well, you said, with Jericho being up next, I get that. The other thing that I didn't realize is that Nunez, he said, you're talking about a guy like me playing left field in reference to Nunez being out there. He's an infielder who is out playing left. But he did get a good throw in. It was a bouncing ball into third, and that factored in. So, yeah, you're right. You're not going to be bunting with Jericho. I don't know. I know it's really, a lot of Cardinal fans are irritated by it. It didn't bother me as much. But it's bad sports talk radio because I'm not going to give you a hot take and scream about it and ideally get calls and texts to fill time.
Why?
Well, because I enjoy nuance. And so I understand where he's coming from because, yeah, Jericho's kind of at that point an all or nothing play. And by that mean, it's a base hit or it's an out. And the only way that Carpenter's at third base with one out with Jericho up next is if he hits a ball to the right side of the infield.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your two, he either gets a base hit and Carpenter may score depending on where it goes. I would imagine based on what he's talking about with Nunez that he would probably try to run on him if the ball's hit to left. I would imagine Denard Span was in center. And so I understand where he's coming from. And then the Nunez factor was something I wasn't even thinking about. But when it's a 0-0 game, I guess I view it differently. I don't know. I don't know. I know a lot of Cardinal fans are upset about it. I'm not as upset about it. And the thing that Jesus Ortiz wrote about, and I wasn't aware of this, was that he bolted after the game and did not address it. Let's see. Ortiz, Carpenter sent wrong message after bonehead mistake. That's his column this morning on STLtoday.com. And for the record, the columnists and writers as a whole, usually they don't write the headlines, just for the record. But he says, Matheny is an accountable man of integrity. I respect him tremendously as a person, a father, and a leader. He'll take the blame for his players and his coaches more often than not. Nonetheless, some of the mistakes his team made last year and early this year shouldn't be made in Little League, high school, college, Class A, or Class AAA. Bill DeWitt Jr. is paying these guys well enough to expect them to focus and avoid Little League blunders. Matheny needs his players to be more accountable. Carpenter, Wainwright, and the rest of the clubhouse leaders must demand more of one another. And then he finishes it off with this. After Tuesday's 2-1, 13-inning loss to the Dodgers, the Cardinals are 6-10 in one-run games. That mark would be better if the players accept that every aspect. Every out is precious, whether it's giving away extra outs with errors or defense or running into them on offense. There's a fine line between a mediocre club and a playoff team. Matheny's players must hold themselves accountable the rest of the way to find the right path to the playoffs.
I just think when you play every night like Matt Carpenter does and everything is on TV, everybody sees every move you make, there's going to be times when you do something that you just regret. When you say, well, boy, that was a stupid play. Men, not machines. And that's true. They're going to make mistakes sometimes. Doesn't mean that he wasn't necessarily focused. Doesn't mean that he's not holding himself accountable. It just means in the heat of the action, in a major league play, some left fielder made an absolutely perfect throw 250 feet away on one hop right on the bag, and he was out. That's all that it means. He made a split-second decision thinking, we need a run. I think I can make this. Uh-oh, another major leaguer made a perfect play to get me. Now I'm out. It doesn't mean he's an idiot or a boneheaded player. It just means that in that one split second, he made a decision that he'd probably rather not have made.
Hold him accountable now.
I'm not going to hold him accountable. It's a play that he would want back, and he would round second, and he would stop there. But nonetheless, I don't think that's reason to say we got to hold these guys accountable, and it's a little league play. You know, things happen.
They are going wild in the mountains.
Grandal lets a pass ball get past him. He can't find it. Is he not focused? Is it a little league play? Stuff happens. That's why we like the game, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Hold Yasmani accountable.
I think it'd be different if this team was an aggressive base running team and they were successful. This team gets thrown out so many times throughout the year.
Doug, did you like the Molina steal last night?
He didn't perfect fly.
Example, yeah.
No, I didn't get. Now that, wouldn't you have more problem with that than Carpenter trying to stretch it? It took a perfect play to get Carpenter. And Molina just ran into it. Tag me out. I don't care.
I'll disagree with that. I mean, it was a three-hopper that barely got 5 feet off the ground, and he was out by 2 feet.
Which one are we talking about now? Molina or Carpenter?
Yeah, it wasn't a... I mean, it was online, but it took three hops to get there, and he was still out by 2 feet, so it wasn't even close.
Oh, it was pretty close. It was pretty close play.
Well, he was holding the ball when he was ready to slide, so...
Well, it's pretty good.
The Molina steal was close last night.
That wasn't. It wasn't close. They are not, this is the understatement of the year, not a good base running team. They don't steal bases, and they make way too many outs on the base.
Diaz has two strikes on him. We saw him flail at that breaking ball. We know he's not going to hit it. Let's just sacrifice Yadier and get things out so we don't have Lynn leading off the next inning. Was that what that was? Here, let me ask you this.
Know.
By the by, I usually only go this baseball nerdy in October or late September, but I'm going to go super baseball nerd here. When who was at third base? Somebody was at third. Might have been Diaz, actually, in the sixth inning. And Lance Lynn was up, and there was one out. Now, Lance Lynn is not what we call a good hitting pitcher, and he's facing Clayton Kershaw, so it's not a great situation.
Not really, no.
And they were debating on the broadcast, Dan McLaughlin and Al Hrabowski, as to whether or not it would be a good time to squeeze. I liked the idea of a squeeze there. I realize it's certainly high risk, but again, you know, going with my reason for not being as upset about the Carpenter thing, you're up against Clayton Kershaw. Runs are certainly going to be at a premium. And, you know, at that point, if he doesn't drive him in, you're at the mercy of a two-out base hit. Now, as either Al or Dan pointed out, Dexter Fowler, surprisingly, was hitting above 400 against Clayton Kershaw in his career. I'm sure that's one hell of an outlier. But I like it there. To my surprise, I honestly thought Kershaw was going to throw Lynn nothing but breaking balls. Mm-hmm. And he got two strikes on him with fastballs. And then it was... a hook, and that was that.
Maybe a safety squeeze instead of a suicide squeeze. You know, kind of wait to see if the bunt's a good one and then go.
Totally results-oriented, but the fastball wound up coming. I was pro-squeeze. The thing I was thinking was Kershaw's going to throw him nothing but breaking balls, and he's not going to be able to get the bat on it. Yeah. Then when he threw him too fast, well, the second fastball was high and had him chase. The first fastball was just piped right down the middle. And then the next hitter was Fowler, and this is just textbook psychology, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but for the, again, this is super baseball nerdy, and I'll get into Keisha Gray's tweet about her gangbang in a couple minutes just to get the audience back. But Dexter Fowler is up, and as I said, he has had an average above 400 against Clayton Kershaw. And Kershaw, with one strike, does not get a call against Dexter Fowler on a ball that was low. They showed where it came across the plate, certainly right down the middle, but it was low. And Kershaw, with his body language, you know, pissed and moaned. The next pitch, and this was critical in the game, dumb as it is to say, the next pitch was in damn near the exact location, actually lower when they showed where it was, and it was called a strike against Fowler. And I truly believe if Kershaw doesn't piss and moan, that ball doesn't get called a strike. Because again, it was a worse pitch than the one beforehand, and now Fowler's in the hole 1-2 with the tying run at third base, and as opposed to 2-1, which was a world of a difference against any pitcher, much less against Kershaw, who at that point, and at any point in his career, is kind of like Adam Wainwright in 2006 when there's two strikes on the hitter. You're just like, okay, do you want to take yourself out because you know it's coming? It's just going to be a steady diet of attractive breaking balls that then just fall right into the dirt, and that's what happens, and Fowler swings and misses, and that's the end of the threat for the Cardinals. But that strike call on 1-1 totally banged him, and then set him up at 1-2, and he struck out on 1-2 with a breaking ball in the dirt. And that's just an illustration of a guy, and I remember we used to hear about it with Maddox and Glavin. They would get the benefit of the doubt. Kershaw gets the benefit of the doubt. I don't think Lance Lynn would have gotten the same call. And it sets the Cardinals up, and really their only scoring opportunity until Grichuk scored from second base is put out. So that's why I was thinking at that point, I'm like, God, I know Matheny may get killed for doing this. I agree with you, more of the safety squeeze than the suicide squeeze. But I would have liked to have seen them run that out there, even if it didn't work.
At least make him feel the ball and throw it to first and see what happens as opposed to the strikeout that it was inevitable.
Yeah, and maybe if it's a different, you know, hitting pitcher, like Wainwright, for example, they would have gone that route. I don't know. I don't have my bunt saves in front of me. Do you have your bunt saves in front of me?
I don't. I lost it. Wainwright's hitting so well, you almost let him swing away.
I think Lynn had one sacrifice all year going into the at-bat. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that'd be something you'd work on over and over and over and over with pitchers? I mean, when they're not...
They do it in February and March, and then I think they just shut her down.
Yeah, they're not playing 4 days out of five. They're not doing anything. Wouldn't you just have them, here's something you can do that won't affect your arm, bunt and bunt and bunt and bunt, and learn how to do that. And nothing drives me crazier than seeing a superstar get a call that someone else is not going to get. Or, this guy's got a reputation for knowing the strike zone. If he takes it, well, it must be a ball. Or, this guy's a star. We're going to give him the borderline. If that's the case, the game is fixed. It's not on the level. A strike should be a strike no matter who throws it, no matter who's at the plate. You cannot alter the strike zone because of the caliber of the player that's up there. If you're doing that, then it's just as phony as pro wrestling, trying to prop up a star. A strike should be a strike, no matter who's out there.
Doug, Karp is below average in the field, hitting .226. Doug, they're coming in too fast. They're coming in too fast, and I just lost it. Karp is below average in field, hitting .226 at near team lead in strikeouts. Own your mistake. I'm tired of hearing about him being a smart ball player who takes great at-bats.
Well, he walks a lot. I don't think he's having the season that he would have wanted to have, that's for sure.
Doug, it was an 0-2 count. Molina stole on the count.
Yeah, well, how'd that go for him?
Close play, bang, bang play.
Wasn't really close. Now, Pujols used to do things like that, and he would always get away with it. Ricky Horton called him the invisible base runner. I thought he ran the bases like he was 10 years old. They'll never catch me. I saw these guys warm up. They can't throw and catch. I'll just keep running. That's how Pujols ran the bases. And he almost always got away with it. Run right through stop signs, and he'd be safe at home. I don't know how he did it.
Tim, Doug big-timed me outside of Busch Stadium, Game 7 of the 2011 World Series, and I still brought him PJs. Some lefty Jacksmere.
I was out in the parking lot.
Oh, doing a live?
I think so, yeah.
So a lot of people were watching your report on Game 7 as opposed to the Cardinals winning the World Series?
It's just more interesting to watch it on local news than it is to actually go inside the stadium and see it. Sure. Who wouldn't? I'd say the crowd out in the parking lot was comparable to what was inside at Busch.
I always, I've seen it twice, but it is pretty cool. We've been lucky enough to see two world championships clinched, no less, at home. since 2006, and how as the game progresses and it looks like the Cardinals are going to win, people start like gathering on like the parking garage on the east of Broadway.
Right.
And so, yeah, you probably did have some friends out there with you.
Oh, many thousands of them, Tim.
Thousands of friends.
So if I big-timed Lefty, you know, he probably had it coming.
It was a 1-2 count.
What, the Molina steal?
This guy's really upset about this. It was a 1-2 count. The ball was in the dirt. And if you ask Manny Grandel doesn't field it cleanly, he's safe.
Sometimes they'll do that if it looks like the inning's going nowhere and it's a 2 strikes on the hitter. They'll think, well, he's probably going to strike out. I'll try to steal here and we'll have a clean slate the next inning. It just didn't feel like that sort of situation, though.
I think Dan addressed it. Now, you won't see Molina stealing here against Kershaw. The fact that it was even addressed, I'm like, in the world? And then like 2 pitches later, there he goes. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if he must have gotten a hell of a jump.
He does have a few stolen bases this year, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he winds up getting a decent amount of steals.
He probably leads the team in swipes. Nothing makes sense.
Enough nerding out. That was such a great tease by Tim regarding Keisha Gray. I must know what he's talking about.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
It's from Stubby Applause.
And that's from Danny
Schwartz.
I like
kittens and bunny.
And she does say bunny singular there. You ever notice that?
Kittens and bunny.
I like kittens and bunny. Bunny. Bunny.
She just has
bunny.
One little bunny that she likes.
Well, she
bunny.
Has a cat named Fritz. I know that.
Well, that's reasonable.
But she doesn't have multiple kittens.
There was an X-rated cartoon movie that came out years ago, Fritz the Cat. You remember that, Iggy?
You into anime, bro?
No, but it was a big scandalous deal there in the 70s. Oh, my God, there's an X-rated cartoon.
Oh, we ought to get it on.
Movie. It was just horrendous. It was just...
So you watched it?
Yes, of course. It was just horrendous.
Wow, that's going to lead to some text. Doug, let's get robots to umpire in 2018. The sooner the better. Thanks.
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind a Fox track called the balls and strikes. I'd be fine with that. Someday it may go to that.
If we had robots umpiring last night, would Molina have been safe at second base?
I think a robot would have got that one right. Well, the base umpires, doesn't matter. If you miss a call, you review it and fix it. There's nothing easier in sports than being a major league umpire nowadays. I mean, 75% of the time you're on the bases, and if any call that's close, they just check it on video anyway.
Send something to Bill for a second, then I'll be with you on that.
Okay, sorry. So 25% of the time you got to call a ball and a strike. That's
sorry
it.
About that. Just let me get that out of the way. And, you know, so you got them tonight.
Come on, I'm in the middle of a hot take on umpires. You got 25% of your job. You actually have to earn a paycheck by calling balls and strikes. Any play at the plate, well, we'll review that. And as a base umpire, you make your call. Most calls aren't particularly close. If they are, you video review it. Ah, no harm, no foul. I mean, who couldn't do that? Who couldn't be a base umpire nowadays? You could pull guys out of the stands to be a base umpire. He's going to think about it, too.
Doug, it's Design Air, the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour. You use Design Air. I use Design Air. We all use Design Air, the number one train dealer in Missouri. Seth Goldkamp and his family, fourth generation owner and operators, and they really do care about their customers. We weren't even going to get this system in our basement. Seth came over, and he said, this is going to be a game changer for you. Otherwise, you're going to be pulling too much coal there from upstairs to make sure that the downstairs is cool. It's going to be a whole thing. And so he instructed us to get this system, and now we have it as we're in the process of finishing our basement. Support the sponsors, and we highly recommend Design Air Heating and Cooling, 314-739-1600. 314-739-1600. Or visit designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Rick Hummel at 8:30. Richard Deitch, Sports Illustrated media columnist, with us at 9:15. I'm going to nerd out with him.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll want to nerd out as well.
Well, I don't know. We'll see where the nerding goes.
That's a good podcast. That's one I would really recommend to you.
And how long does that take?
Well, I mean, you can skip through stuff you're not interested in.
How will I know if I'm interested in it until I hear it?
Because you can skip ahead like 30 seconds ago. They're talking about something I'm interested in. I do that sometimes.
Well, I couldn't do that while I'm driving, Tim.
Yeah. You know which podcast, and I know I'm talking to really no one because I don't think any of you podcast, and by that I mean the gentleman in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Bill Simmons, I used to listen to all the time, and now I feel like all he does is talk about the Celtics. It's like he's doing a local podcast. You agree with me, Seema, so you know what I'm talking about. So I'm just like, I might have to unsubscribe.
Huh, that hurt his feelings.
I don't know if it would really matter, because he got a huge contract from HBO.
Did he?
But I don't know what he's doing. That was like a signature podcast.
There are two contracts in the media world now. Sick money, and you're just sick. Doesn't it seem like either you make millions of dollars or you can just barely know where your next meal's coming from?
Sick.
Very little in between.
Doug, Aziz Ansari is the only Simmons pod I've listened to recently. That comes from John Seymour.
Well, there he is. Well, hello, Aziz.
Let me just send something to Bill for a second, then I'll be with you on that.
And he was talking about Bill Simmons there, not Bill's hole.
It probably was. Did he know he was on the air when he was doing all that? This kind of felt like he was tying up some loose ends.
You know, I've wondered about doing a show by myself, and I'm like, yeah, I just don't have enough to say to fill 3 or 4 hours without, like, coming up with straw men to get people to react to fill the time.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, I know. I just don't want to do that. I mean, right. Maybe it'll come to that point. I don't know. But if you're just going to tend to, like, you know, you're going to run errands while you're on the air.
That's
I think I could do
it. Like. Guy
I think
just at his desk,
it.
Kind of shuffling hold papers
on,
around
hold
a little
on a
bit.
Second. Cardinals tonight, but just real quick, got a Facebook instant message from somebody who wants tickets. But is asking if I have any sources who have them. This guy wants to know if he can get a foursome over at Gateway. Just 1 second.
Where's my pen? Okay, I got the gong.
See, now all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I only have three hours and 45 minutes to go.
It's not bad radio. I'll check Twitter, see if something comes
Do you think the NBA would work in St. Louis, or is it a league full of, what would get calls? Thugs. 855 Cup Talk. Okay, phone lines are lit up. Hold on a second. Anna Marie just texted me. Needs to pick up something.
Trying to get to one of those two teams. Look up their schedule here quick.
Okay, just go ahead and look it up. We'll stay here listening.
So anyway, Keisha Gray tweeted out, "My butt is wrecked. Thank you, Dog Fart Network, for my first gangbang of 2017. I've only been begging for forever."
Oh, that last sentence didn't go with the others.
I've only been begging forever?
Well, it sounded like she was miserable. Sounded like something horrible had happened to the gal, and then she was begging for it. I didn't care for that.
Do you have anything else, Plowhawk?
Oh, shucks.
Right there.
She likes kittens and bunny.
Yeah. She does say bunny singular.
Yes, I know.
Her and Lana Rhodes, I guess, are the same. Lana Rhodes tweeted the other day, she was taking a poll. Who would you like to see, what male actor would you like to see me do anal with?
Oh, come on, Iggy.
That was her poll.
Who won?
Danny Mountain, I think.
Like me being put in headlocks.
Seamaster, who you call Sneaky Vile, Doug.
Yeah.
Says, friends of the show, Lisa Ann and Caden Cross are appearing in Austin, Texas the same weekend in June. Maybe we should send Iggy.
Well, that'd be a nice little
got to run that up
you.
A flagpole, Iggy, and see if we can get budget approval for that.
I love Austin. Austin's a great city.
It is. Keep Austin weird.
We'd be better off going for South by Southwest. That'd be a ton of interviews down there for that.
Doug, you want to go for South by Southwest?
What is that?
Music festival. When's that go on? Like October? I went down there for the Fighting Gurs against Texas in 2008. Didn't go well. I think they were down by 30, like within the first 20 minutes of the game.
I think they have two of them now. One for music and one for like movies and stuff like that.
South by Southwest.
That's right.
SWXS, I think.
Now, I've seen North by Northwest.
With the great Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he was in it, but it was his movie.
He was in it.
Cary Grant was a star.
Well, I'll go wherever you guys send me.
Like, one time I shot, like, a cuckold scene with, like, my dad and my brother, and that was a lot of fun to shoot.
Right. Uh-huh. So, yeah, Caden and Lisa Ann will be up here. I wonder what they're doing there.
Yeah, boy, these umpires. Boy, they got it easy.
So you want robots?
I want Fox Track to call balls and strikes. You can keep the other umpires there, break up fights and everything on the bases, I guess. But you know, that would go fine.
Can you assign Fritz the X-rated cat to be my new number in the text inbox? Doug, this is somebody who doesn't have a name.
Just the worst movie I'd ever seen in my life.
It wasn't really porn, though. That's back when Kentucky Fried Movie, I think, was rated X because they showed Bush.
Okay, Carlton.
Big deal. Doug wrecks me all the time, and I don't feel the need to tweet about it. Thanks, Dave, St. Peter's.
Stop it, Dave.
I don't do gay sex.
That iron shirt made quite an impression on me that night. I mean, he looked like he had slept in that like three nights in a row. And this is what you're going to wear to a nice party?
Yeah, 10th anniversary party, no less. You only get one of those.
You have no mirror at all? No, your mother doesn't say, hey, you can't go out of the house looking like that.
I'd watch a Lana Rhodes scene with Iggy just so I could laugh at his junk. Thanks, it's from Harry.
Stop it, Harry.
You'd probably laugh because it had been embarrassing you.
Okay. Damn, Gina!
Well, you fired right back at him.
Hey, Doug, want to join my foursome at Gateway this afternoon? I have the men's room rented out for a couple hours.
No.
It's in the River to Perry Yacht Cop.
No, I'm busy. Busy, busy, busy.
That Gateway's in great shape. That Gateway's in great shape.
You know, I've never played there.
Really?
I've never played there.
Oh, it's a great track.
Don't say tracked.
And congratulations to friend of the show, Jay Williamson, qualified for the U.S. Senior Open yesterday.
Oh, he did?
How about that? I was texting with him last night, and he beat another great guy, Juhai, Jay Delsing, in a playoff on number one at Glen Echo. JW hit a 10-footer, and Jay Delsing's putt just sat on the lip. And so Jay Williamson goes to play in the U.S. Senior Open.
That'll be his first senior event. I know he's been trying Monday qualifying for a few. And
he's got to only be like 50 or 51, right?
Yeah, he just turned 50.
Yeah,
I mean, he...
Great guy.
He does. He doesn't have
He's
status.
Always a great interview on the show.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, he was always outspoken about Tiger. Whenever you'd ask him, he would always
just
tell you the truth.
Just the game in general.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm super happy for him. He's a really good guy and definitely be pulling for him. That's in late June, Doug. That's when that is.
On
that's
Fox.
The U.S. Senior's on Fox, too?
They have all the USGA stuff.
Iggy, look out for Doug. He's a size queen. It's from Butch Patrick's Werewolf now.
I don't know what that means. I don't even care to know what it means.
Let's see, Stephen Wildwood. Are you even going to mention that this is her first gangbang and it's almost Flag Day? I'm tired of it, Stephen Wildwood. That's his thing right now. He's got a new formula.
Flag Day. That he's tired of things?
Yes.
Okay.
Doug, we got a break.
Okay.
Rick Hummel's at 8:30. Richard Deitch at 9:15. This program's called The Ryan Kelly Morning After, and it airs on 590 The Fan. KFNS 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC studios.